Okay, recording has started.
Okay, welcome everybody. Welcome to the November workshop of 2016 of Compulsive Eaters Anonymous, How Making Your Holiday Season Happy, Joyous, and Free. Let's start off with a serenity prayer, everybody. Please join me. God, grant me the serenity.
Grant me the serenity.
To accept the things
I cannot change.
Courage.
To change the things I can.
And the wisdom.
And the
wisdom to know the difference.
To know the difference.
Thy will, not mine.
Not mine. Be done.
Amen.
Okay, everybody, let me do a mass mute and we'll get started. Okay, this morning, well, for me it's morning, we have eight wonderful speakers that are going to share their experience, strength, and hope, how to get through holidays, all sorts of holidays, and live a happy and joyous and free life. Our first speaker is Ginger. And we do have a spiritual timekeeper, which is Ginger, but Adele will be timing Ginger. And Ginger, how are you going to like your time? You have to star 6 to unmute, Ginger. Nope, I thought I needed to line the clock. There you are. Nope, yes. Ginger? Okay, I did mute correctly. Ginger, it's star 6 to unmute. We couldn't hear you.
Hi, Susie. Can you hear me now?
Ah, there you are. Okay, how would you like it? Yes. How would you like your time?
Okay, I would like my time when I have 5 minutes remaining and a minute, please.
Okay, here's your 15 minutes. Thank you, Ginger.
Thank you so much. Good morning or afternoon. My name is Ginger, and I'm a compulsive eater, and Rule 62 applies that I don't take myself so damn seriously because mute, unmute sometimes can be a bit much. I have the pleasure of being in CHOW since February of 2011, and I came into our sister program in 89. I never surrendered. I surrendered in CHOW, and through the grace of God, I have been abstinent since that February 23rd date. I'm a food inventory step and maintenance sponsor, and honored to be on this happy, joyous, and free holiday workshop. I just want to tell you a little bit how holidays used to be before I found CHOW. And before that, food was the holiday. And so when Halloween would start, weeks before, as soon as they started putting things out on the counter in the stores, I would start buying them because my pretense was that I needed to have the best of the treats to give out so that my neighbor kids would have the best of the treats. Well, unfortunately, I would hide them from my family, and I would consume them, and I'd have to go back to the store, and I'd repeat that until the holiday, and then by the time the holiday came, the foods that I wanted were no longer there. And so I, you know, it was not what I would give out, it's what I would consume. For Thanksgiving, there was a time that I would start eating a week ahead of time to stretch my stomach and make sure that I had pants that had elastic around the waist so that I could eat as much as I could at Thanksgiving. And Christmas, oh my goodness, that was just a food frenzy for me. And I would go to parties and I would just situate myself by the food table and eat mass quantities. Or if by chance I thought I didn't want to do that because I didn't want everyone to see me eating, I would then not eat at the party, but then go home and eat things that I didn't even want. But I am a compulsive eater and I can't handle it. Now, my life has changed since I surrendered in CHOW, and by surrendering, I mean doing what the concept says, which is the tool steps and traditions are not suggested, rather they are required. And when I was able to really get that, it was like a spiritual experience for me. And what happened is that I now have freedom around food. I do not feel like a martyr. I do not feel like someone who is deprived because I am not consuming what other people consume. And that's part of what that happy, joyous, and free is. The promises come true. They really do when we surrender, when we do what's asked of us. And so in the big book, the promises, we will recoil from food as if it were a hot flame. So how do I do that? I don't do it alone. It has nothing to do with willpower. People who do not know about our disease don't get it. They just say, oh, you have so much willpower. Well, no, I do not have so much willpower. What I have is a higher power. What I have is a fellowship, which helps me be abstinent each and every day. Holidays are the same as any other days when it comes to food, because I am not going to, through the grace of God, allow myself through the grace of God to pick up things that are not on my food plan. I've done that too many times. When I was in our sister organization, I didn't surrender. I had so many day ones. And you know, it's like when the holidays would come, my disease would say, oh, the holidays are here. Well, why don't you wait until this date? Why don't you wait until this date? And then why don't you just wait till January 1st? But, you know, January 1st was my friend's daughter's birthday, and so, heck, I couldn't start on January 1st. So, you know, do you see the insanity that eating, how that just permeated my entire self? So now I do the tools seriously in my life. I might not do them perfectly, but I do them seriously. Meetings are important. I mean, every single one of the tools are important. And I have to plan ahead. I went to a wedding on Friday night. I asked the mother of the groom, what are they serving? She told me I could have one thing. All the rest was not on my food plan. So I brought my own protein. You know, I brought my own things to eat, and I took them out while we were eating, and no one looked at me and said, oh, she's got her own food. No, nobody. And I felt so good, because if I wouldn't have brought my own food, I don't know what I would have done through the grace of God, you know. And so I used to think, oh, I need to, really, it's people-pleasing. If someone made something and they would say, oh, you need to try this, I would sometimes try it just because I didn't want to hurt their feelings. Now when people say, when I'm at a party, did you eat? I say, yes, it was delicious. And that's not a lie, because my food is delicious. I am so grateful that I get to eat my food. I'd much rather eat my food, because when I eat my food, it's weighed and measured, and it's a large quantity. You know, we get a lot of food in our program. We really do, especially when we're on maintenance and if we're physically active. And so people sometimes are amazed. You're going to eat that much of, you know, whatever stuff we eat. And I say, yes, and you can't have any. But, you know, there have been people who have said to me at work, for instance, when I was working, you know, before this school year is over, I was a teacher, before this school year is over, you're going to eat one of these luncheons with us. And I looked at my friend, and I say friend in quotation marks, she is my friend, but, and I said, if I were an alcoholic, would you ask me to do a shot with you? And she goes, of course not. And I said, well, it's the same thing. If I have one of these meals with you that are not on my food plan, I will be off and running into insanity, and I don't want to go there. I was really blessed. My mother, who has passed away, my mother used to, she was so happy that I was in program that she would make my food special. And when we would sit down for a meal, she would say to her grandchildren and my husband, she would say, wait till your mom weighs her food, then you can have some. Imagine a grandmother saying that to a grandchild. That's how much support my mother gave me. And my sisters, they will do the same thing for me. You know, well, we're having this. What can you eat? Or, you know, whatever. And, you know, it's such a gift. But what would happen if I wasn't in program or if I wasn't serious about my program is I would give myself excuses and say, you know what, it's okay if I just have a little bit of this, even if it's weighed and measured food, you know, that's abstinent on my program. If I pick up too much of that, I am, you know, slipping and sliding, and it won't be long before I'm doing mass quantities. And I want to be free of that. You know, our topic about being happy, joyous, and free, I thought, am I really happy, joyous, and free? Because I have to live in this world, in this, you know, in this body. And there are a gazillion things. Life goes on. And the things that go on are not always wonderful. But what I've learned in this program is that if God leads me to it, he'll lead me through it. If I say, let go and let God, and really mean it, if I inhale, let God, and I slowly exhale, let go, before long, whatever it is that is upsetting to me will be gone. If I'm feeling depressed during the holidays, being of service pulls me right out of that depression. And so, you know, what are little hints to stay abstinent during the holiday is know that we have a disease. And if we treat it like a diet, it's not going to work. I used to work with a woman who was in AA, and we really were good friends. And one day we were walking out, and she said to me, she said, Ginger, in AA, if someone falls off the wagon, it is a big deal. But it seems to me in your program, if you choose not to follow your food plan, it's okay. And I just looked at her, and I'm not really sure what my response was, but I was a little embarrassed. But, yeah, you know, it's not a big deal. Because to me, it wasn't a big deal. I just thought it was a diet. I just thought that I could pick it up. Thank you. Was that 5 minutes, Adele, or one?
You still have five to go.
Okay, thank you so much. So I would, you know, I didn't think I could ever stay abstinent the way it was written. And today, that's my goal, just for today. You know, how's your day going to be today? Well, I'm planning for it to be pretty good. You know, might I have some, you know, nuts and bolts in the roads that might cause me to eat? I sure hope not. And the reason is because the tools are big in my life. The steps and traditions are big in my life. I am able, through the grace of God, to prepare meals, to prepare snacks, and not want them. And if I have that stinking thinking that, ooh, I want that, I just won't make it anymore. And no one is going to freak out. What I've learned in program, it's about the people, it's not about the food. And if someone is a food pusher, that's them, it's not me. If someone says to you, you're too thin, that's them, it's not me. And what I know I have in these rooms is I know that I have support. I know that if I'm having a tough time, I can pick up the phone and I can call people. And part of that support is because when I attend meetings, I try to write down numbers. I try to call people. I try to do service so that people get to know me. And it's very selfish if you think about it, because if I lead a meeting, I could have 60 people hear my voice. Now, is that a good thing? Well, yeah, it is, because then 60 people are familiar with me. And then if we reach out and we talk to each other, you know, it's great, because then when I'm having an issue, be it with my husband, my daughter, you know, the government, who knows, I don't have to go to food. Food is not going to satiate me. you are going to help me. Through the grace of God, you are going to help me stay abstinent today. And that's why it's so very, very important that we all do service. And during the holidays, we have our great marathon meetings. And so if you have 30 days, you've been stepped up, you can lead a marathon meeting. If you don't have 30 days, you know, we can all attend and participate and do service. And service really is one of the keystones of the program. If we didn't have people doing service, we wouldn't have this workshop today. You know, if we didn't have people doing service at all levels, we wouldn't have our meetings. We wouldn't have an office that we can email to or call when we need something. We have a website that's wonderful that they're working on. All of that is service. So I hope that you, regardless of your faith, your traditions, your culture, that this year, just for today, that you are happy, joyous, and free because you are not a slave to the food. And that starts right now. That starts this very minute. Every day we get to be abstinent, and it's a gift. So I would like to end now. My name is Ginger. My phone number is 602-423-3496, 602-423-3496. And thank you for letting me share and be of service.
Thank you, Ginger. Before we go to our next speaker, Larissa, just reminding everybody, this is a workshop. The intergroup voted a few months ago, maybe it was a year ago, that we are going to ask for donations for the workshop. So if you like the workshop, if it's helped you, please send in a donation to help support our intergroup. Also, at the end of the speakers, there will be questions. So jot any questions down. At the end, we'll get to questions. All right, our next speaker is Larissa. Larissa, are you ready? It's star 6 to unmute. Larissa?
I'm here.
Okay, and how would you like your time?
5 minutes before.
Okay.
I have 5 minutes left.
Okay, thank you. And here I give you Larissa. Thank you, Larissa. Go ahead.
Okay. My name is Larissa, and I hope you can understand my name is Larissa, a compulsive eater. And I was like, I know on Thursday night, you know, someone miscalled my name, and I was like, I know Larissa does not sound like Lily, but I was like, okay, maybe that's what that person heard, so I had to just, you know, pass on because I have a very unusual name, and a lot of people do mispronounce it. So I'm making sure that gets, you know, it gets understood. If anybody has some way, somehow that they are not hearing it correctly, then please let me know. I had to start off with that because that's a lot of the things, you know, getting through the holidays, getting through abstinently, it's being able to own how you feel, what you're thinking, without getting into food, getting into anger and upset and having love and compassion for one another. Now, it may be a little hard sometimes within the family, but it can be done within our CHI family. And this is a family for us, you know, for me. It's a CHI. The CHI program is a family. And I often think about it, you know, it is compulsive eaters anonymous. It is not any other title that's given to our program. It says compulsive eaters anonymous how. And I gratefully and grateful for that and gratefully respect that. Getting through the holidays, let's start off with being Larissa, being a compulsive eater, knowing that that's what I am, and identify myself and let myself know that at all times. My disease does not have a holiday. I choose to say that I'm having a holiday, but my disease is not on holiday. It is always there, 24/7. 365 days a year. And this year we got 366 days. And it's always going to be there for me. It's there. So I have to choose to let myself know and let the world around me, wherever I am, let myself know that I am a compulsive eater. I cannot be out there doing whatever I think other people are doing. Regardless of whatever they're doing, it has nothing to do with me continually being aware of who I am. I came into the program and had, let me identify compulsive eater, Larissa, food inventory step maintenance sponsor. I have a 46-pound weight release, and I work my program one day at a time. Go to as many meetings as I possibly can with all the other responsibilities of life and being a part of life. Like work, I have to work, and family, have to do family, and kids, have to do kids. They never get grown, but anyway, they get a number, but they don't get grown. And do all the things that any other person in the world has to do. And I had a sponsor to tell me one time, I was like, I don't think I can do all of this. I don't think I can get through this. And how am I going to get all this done? And she says, Larissa, you have just as much time as any other person on earth. You got 24 hours each day. He said, and during that 24 hours, you can work your program and do what everybody else does. You don't get any more or any less. She said, and the same thing with your food. You got a food plan. You don't get to get any more food or any less food. We all have a food plan that we weigh and measure by, which we can choose to do or choose not to do. She said, nobody makes us do anything. But that's what we have to choose from and what our responsibility is to ourselves. I grew up in a family that we had food 24/7, all around the clock, all the time. It was always food available. No one seemed to be concerned about it, aware that it was there except Larissa. I was always aware that there was food around, and I always was aware that if I asked my mother or my grandmother or my aunt or any female in the family would fix exactly what I asked them to, because that's what they did. They cooked. And I was always aware that I needed more than all the rest of the children. And I would look at them. I had one sister. My older sister, she had no desire for sweets at all, zero. And I look at her and never understood that. How could she not want that? And I did. And she would give away what she had on her plate. So anybody that wanted, of course, you know who wanted it. And I was like, why are you doing that? I don't want it. I don't like it. So that's how I grew up, wanting more than the other person in the family and being aware that it was always available. My mother was not, she was overweight for a little bit after she had each child, and she dropped the weight off each time. And so I didn't see my mother being a great, big, huge woman. But she always made sure that we had a lot of food. She loved to cook. And she would do that for us. So that's a little bit about the background. That was what it was like then. What happened is I was guided and put into a 12-step program by my higher power. I know it was him because I had no way of knowing anything about a 12-step program. I came into the 12-step program through the other our sister program. I was not aware that there was anything out there that was for people that was like me. I thought I was the only person that ate like I did. And one morning early, I took off work that day. It was on a Friday, and I was going to have a real good time eating all the things I had brought from the store on the night before on my way home from work, because that was my birthday. I was born. And I bought all this stuff, and I got up that morning, and I never turn the TV on in the morning. I still don't. You know, I'm just not a, I don't turn the TV on to get out of bed and stuff. I wake up meditating every morning. And I turned that TV on that morning at 6 o'clock. It had Good Morning America, and there were, they had four people on there. I think it was two men and two women, and they were sitting there interviewing them, and they were blindfolded. Because you, I didn't know why until after I got in front of you. Can't, you know, you couldn't show their faces because they would break anonymity. And they were telling their stories, and they were from the other the sister program, and they were telling my story. I had never heard anything like that. And at the bottom of the screen, they ran this phone number for area. So they said, "Look at the bottom of your screen, and the phone number for your area, your city would be at the bottom." And I wrote the number down, and immediately I called it. And from that day forward, you know, I talked to the most wonderful, beautiful person. I had never had anybody talk that wonderful. That was the most wonderful day of my life, and I never will forget it. I talked to her, and she told me about the next meeting, and I went. Been going ever since. I never have left the rooms of the 12-step program or eating program. I progressed from that program to the HOW program. And went from the HOW program in Dallas. The C-HOW program became C-HOW in 1998. And we were HOW before then. And when we became C-HOW, I was still in the program. So I had a sponsor. And so I was like, I need to get a C-HOW sponsor now. And she smiled at me because she had moved to Texas with her job and transferred her to Texas, to Dallas. And she was from L.A. And she smiled at me. She said, "I've been sponsoring you C-HOW all the time." So I looked at her. I was like, "Well, why didn't you tell me that I was?" You know, she said, "That's the way I sponsored. That's the only way I knew how to sponsor." So I became C-HOW. And these 12 steps in these rooms have been a lifesaver for me in many ways. It's helped me with a lot of different things that came up in my life. I mean, professionally, with family, with all kinds of other issues in my life that came up, it has helped me. Helped me in relationships, and, you know, it's helped me with the relationship that I, you know, had to, you know, that's not anymore. It's my daughter's father, and but we are, it helped me become real good friends with him. We are really good friends. We just can't spend a lot of time together because we don't agree on a whole lot of things. He's a retired police officer, and he thinks, you know, everything is right, you know, with what he says. Okay, thanks.
5 minutes.
So, thanks. Okay. And I said, so we can't communicate other than just a short time, but we still are friends. So that's what it was. That's what happened. I got into the program. What it's like now, I go to 3 to 4 meetings a week. And that means I go to 3 face-to-face meetings most of the time a week and see how I will listen on a phone bridge meeting when I get a chance. I work, so my job is pretty demanding. And I am a whole lot better with my food than I have ever been because of being in a 12-step program called Compulsive Eaters Anonymous HOW. I call my food in every morning. I write my food down at night. I call it in the morning. I do my question, and I am very, very, very dedicated to meditation. I'm a real deep meditator, and I belong to a meditation group, and I go to that, and I was there last night, and we had a special program, and I do attend church, but C-HOW and the 12-step program has given me a spiritual life that I will never, ever be able to have enough to pay back. I can't ever pay it back because it's a gift from God. And God's gifts are always enormous and miraculous and very, very supernatural. You know, it's something that I could never do for myself. And I have a wonderful relationship with my daughter and my grandchildren, my two granddaughters and my little granddaughter that I have that demands a lot of attention, 3 years old. And I'm just real grateful that I have a program that I can have that and I can do all of this. And I have a profession that I love, and I really do love my work. And I never would have had that kind of experience if I had not been in the 12-step program. And this is what has helped me down through my life. Getting through the holidays this year would be 3 meals a day, nothing in between, except water, because I can't do the sugar-free soda and the sugar-free gum, and probably won't be able to do the tea, because like my sponsor says, you don't know how to use that. You do too much of it, so give it up. So I'm giving all of that up. And I will be with my family and be there as long as I possibly can. I have a limit. I don't try to stay there a long, long time. I don't have to stay all night. I just stay 4 or 5, maybe 4 hours at the most, maybe 5. And I'm out of there. And I, you know, go on and look at football. I'm a heavy, heavy sports person, real heavy into sports. So I'm into football and basketball and all the sports. So I will be watching football, hoping Dallas win, and all of that good stuff. That's how I'll spend my holiday. That's what it's like for me now. Thank you for letting me be a person to share. Thank you for all of you that are here. And I hope that all of, and I have to say this, and one of my sponsors asked me this morning, are you going to speak? You know, I was asking what you're going to be on the meeting today, on the workshop today. She said, yeah, I'm going to be there. I guess we're not. Are you going to speak? I said, it doesn't matter who speaks. Just are you going to be there? I didn't tell her that. I was going to be one of the speakers. So I hope she's on and she's hearing me. And I hope all of you have a happy, joyous, loving, freedom from all the compulsions, mentally, emotional, and have a real spiritual experience during the holiday, because I hope that your higher power, and I know I have a wonderful higher power, and whom I choose to call God, will be there for you in every way and blessings. Thanks.
Thank you, Larissa. And now our next speaker is Julie. Julie, are you here?
Yes, I am, Susan.
Okay, how would you like your time?
5 minutes, please.
Okay, Ginger, did you get that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you, everybody. This is Julie. Thank you.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here, helping me recover through my compulsive eating. My name is Juliana, and I am a compulsive eater. I started my journey to compulsive eating many years ago, but I discovered this program thanks to my mom, who is also a compulsive eater, 3 years ago, 3 years and 9 months ago. But I'd like to say that the first round of the program, I did not fully accept that I was a compulsive eater. I felt that I was able to control the way that I could eat without the need of having to work the steps and doing what the program requires, the instruments to guide me and help me succeed day by day as a compulsive eater. I was very ashamed of being a compulsive eater, but I was even more ashamed of being overweight. It was very hard for me to finally accept that I was a compulsive eater, and I think through my first round through the program, I still wouldn't accept it, and I wouldn't acknowledge that I was a compulsive eater. I remember the first holiday season that I was already working the program. It was very hard for me because my family members and friends knew that I wasn't eating any flour or sugar, but they didn't know why. And I started to lose weight, and I was so grateful and so happy for the weight that I have been losing. But I wanted to do things my way, and that was my biggest mistake. I didn't want to do what the program required of me. And so I did lose the weight, but because I wouldn't use the instruments that the program has, I would have emotional breakdowns. I wasn't well emotionally. I was able to contain my food cravings, but my emotional and my spiritual recoveries were beneath my physical recovery. During the first holiday that I went, I was measuring and weighing my food. And I went in to family members' home, and I told them, "Well, you know, what are we gonna have to eat?" And they had very delicious food that I loved, but all of it that I could not eat. And I remember I prepared my meal so that I could take it with me, and I did take it with me, and I couldn't get it off the car. I was so embarrassed to take it out and to have brought my own food and how my family members were going to take it, that I decided to keep it in the car. I was physically ready to succeed that day, but I was not emotionally ready to succeed. I went in and I saw what I could eat from the things that were there, and I couldn't eat anything. It was a breaking point for me, because at that moment I realized if I have just a little bit, it'll be okay. But at the same time, I had a family member that would always criticize me, and I felt very judged by her, because she would tell me, "You're always so picky with your food. Why are you so picky with your food? What bad is it for you to eat a little bit of sugar or a little bit of flour? You're not going to die from it." And she kept on pushing all the time for me to eat those things that I couldn't eat, that my body would not be able to process properly. And she would say, "No, just have a little bit. It's not going to..." And she was there. And so it was, at that moment, it was a breaking point for me. But I decided to go to my car and bring out my food. And as I sat down at the dinner table, we were all having dinner, and I started to pull out my thing, my meals. The eyes of everybody around me were so judgmental that I felt so bad. I felt even worse about my disease than I ever did before. It was so hard to have those family members judging me and saying, "Well, why can't you eat what we're eating? Or why can't you have this? What makes you so special?" And it might have been just in my head, or that might have been how I took it, but I you know, with everybody looking at me, I just took a moment and I stood up and I told them, "Flour and sugar are bad for me. I become addicted to them. Once I start eating them, I can't stop eating them. You guys all congratulate me because of all this weight loss, but you don't know it's because I don't eat this. And even though some would say eating one piece of flour with sugar or whatever the dessert choice of the day was, it's not going to kill me, but it will damage me and it will send me back and I won't be able to control myself. At that moment, when I was honest with my family members about my disease, and I accepted it for what it was, everything changed. It was very hard for me to accept it, but everything changed. I didn't want to lose my abstinence because I was very involved with service, and I love participating and giving my service. It's one of the best rewards for myself that I could ever have. Committing myself to run a meeting or to be secretary or any of the services that are required and that we have here in the program was what kept me going. At that time, I had a meeting. I was a secretary. I was involved with special events for workshops, and I didn't want to risk that. I was so in love with the service that I was able to overcome anything because I knew that if I had that flour or that sugar, or if I ate those things that I am not allowed to eat because they're not a part of my meal plan, I was going to lose that ability to serve that week or to give up the committee chair for a special event. And that was more risky for me than just being able to face that I have a disease and I have a problem. And when I accept that I have a problem and I have a disease and I share it with the people and they understand, and I also use that reference with the alcoholic. If I was an alcoholic and you knew how bad I was with the alcohol in my system, would you allow me to have a drink? And of course my family members were like, no. After I did that reference to them and help them understand where I was with my disease, that was a breaking point. That was a new beginning for me. And I fell in love even more with my program once I accepted my problem. So now the holidays are very different. My family
5 minutes. 5 minutes.
Thank you. My family members are aware of my quote-unquote special needs. And I always call ahead and I always ask, what are you going to be serving? And if for some reason they're not going to be able to serve something that I am able to eat, then they understand that I can bring my own food. But I love it even more because as the years have gone by, I now see them that they are accepting me and accepting my disease and accepting that I require different foods, and that's okay. And it's even more rewarding when I call them and I ask them and they say, oh, you know, we know that you can't eat this, so we're going to have this, and, you know, this other person is going to bring this because they know that you like it and you can eat it. And now they have a measuring cup and a scale that allows me to weigh and measure my food. And I feel so grateful now. I feel so grateful that I understand what my disease is and I accept it. And that now that I accept it, I can face it and I can defend me, and I am no longer ashamed that I am a compulsive eater, because I wouldn't be ashamed if I had any other disease, medical disease. This disease is different, but it's my disease, and I need to make sure that I take every step to be okay. And by doing this, by accepting it, I am able to make my holiday season happy, joyous, and free. And with that, I end my sharing. My name is Julie, And my telephone number, if anybody needs to reach me, is 760-698-0858. And I live in California. I can call me at any time. I'm always available to lend a hand to those in need, because there's been many hands my way whenever I've needed them. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. Before we go to our next speaker, I will remind everybody that this is being recorded. This is a workshop on making your holiday season happy, joyous, and free. And we will accept donations. The intergroup needs donations. So if you like it, please send in a donation. Okay, our next speaker is Ken. Are you on the line, Ken?
I'm here.
How would you like your time?
5 minutes and then 2 minutes.
Okay, thank you. Give everyone Ken.
Well, hello, everybody. Very grateful to be on the workshop today and honored to be asked to speak. I'm the lone male speaker today, which is something that is not uncommon in OA. I'm not sure the ratio is 7-1, but it may be very close to that. But regardless, I'm a compulsive overeater, and I have been my entire life. I've had a lot of experience in the program. I started way back on July 24th, 1974. So if you're trying to do the math, that's 42-plus years. And I came into the program when I was very young because I had already hit a bottom with my food and didn't know where to turn. And thank God OA was in existence, although it was only 14 years old at the time. And so I was fortunate enough to plug into a very strong group of face-to-face meetings. There was no phone bridge in those days. In fact, there was only one OA in those days. There weren't other versions. But the one I was in was very structured. Everybody followed a food plan called Gray Sheet, which I'm sure many who are on the line today are familiar with. And at least at the meetings I attended, although they were not required, everybody was very passionate about doing the steps and the tools. And once I could see how much recovery there was in the room, I decided to jump in and join, because my eating was completely out of control, even at just age 24. But this workshop is basically focuses on what do we do during the holiday season and how do we remain happy, joyous, and free. And I have to say that for me, the last 42-plus years, of course, my holiday seasons have been much happier, joyous, and free as a result of being in the program. And it really is more than just the food. It's more than that I'm able to refrain from compulsive overeating. It's really the spiritual side of the program that has given me the ability to really enjoy life and to overcome problems and face challenges that without the program, I'm sure I would have much difficulty in confronting if I could be successful at all. But this time of year, usually starting after Halloween, I guess which would give us November and December, it have traditionally been difficult months for me, and I'm prone to be very melancholy during the so-called joyous time of the year. And I think it's just how I'm wired that I tend to, I'm a very introspective type of person, so I cogitate a lot on my life. And I have to be very careful, because I can dip into self-pity and a lot of isolation and what have you. And whereas the so-called normie world is celebrating all the holidays we have in November and December, you know, which, let's face it, they pretty much revolve around food and, of course, presents. And sometimes it can just make me feel kind of like a fish out of water. But what I've learned to do is, because it has a lot to do with my thinking, what's between my ears, and in this program, of course, we're encouraged to abstain from negative thinking. So that's what I really try to do. I just get up a day at a time and look at the bright side and not go down that path of, oh, it's a long holiday season and everybody's going to be eating and they're going to go to parties and they're gonna, and I can't. And the reality of the matter is food has very little to do with being happy, joyous, and free. I mean, yes, food's enjoyable. We should be able to enjoy it. But it really is a small part of what goes into comprising a satisfying and fulfilling life. But being a compulsive overeater, of course, that's a hard concept to really digest and to accept. And I can remember my very first year in the program, I went to a holiday dinner, and I was already, you know, pretty steeped in the program, and I was prepared for the temptations that were sure to come. And it was a family event, and of course they had all the various goodies on the table. I mean, there was a few healthy items, but a lot of the junk. But I had prepared ahead of time with my sponsor, and at that time, I felt like, well, while they're passing around the, you know, the goodies and all that stuff, I'll just sip on water or coffee. And I was prepared, even at that function, to just, if I needed to get up and make a phone call, or if necessary, just leave if it was going to be too tempting. Well, I was able to get through that evening just fine using those techniques, and that was a biggie because I don't think I had ever gone to a function like that and been able to get through it, and nobody really questioned me or asked me, you know, why aren't you eating this, why aren't you eating that? They were so self-absorbed that they probably weren't even noticing what I was doing. But then a few months later, I took a trip back home, and this was like in December and right at the end of December when everybody's having parties and what have you, and I was away from that time I was in Los Angeles, and so I was away from all of my support systems. And I thought I would be fine, but I remember going to a party, and there was lots of food there, and all of a sudden I found myself indulging in it. And, you know, the rest of the time I was out of town, it was very difficult to get back on my abstinence, but it was probably a good thing that happened at that time because it was a wake-up call. And it showed me the seriousness of the disease and how vulnerable I really was and how close I am at any given time to going over the edge. So since that time, which of course has been a long time ago, I've developed the attitude now that you know, I'm going to do with my food and my program what I'm going to do every single day, regardless of what the calendar says. It doesn't matter what holiday it is. It doesn't matter what special occasion it is. It doesn't matter what setting I'm going to be in. I'm going to stick to my food plan, because if I don't, then the results could be catastrophic. Not only lose my abstinence, but a whole host of health issues, and could even die prematurely from it, which a lot of people do, or they suffer through their lives enduring very difficult diseases. So now if I'm at a function, I mean, most of the people, and this includes going to restaurants, most of the people know by now that I'm going to weigh and measure my food no matter where I am. And, you know, in all these 42 years, I can't remember anybody really being appalled or being hurt. And even if they were, It wouldn't stop me from carrying on what I'm doing, because when we're taking care of ourselves, I'm not doing anything to anybody else. It's just for me, what I'm doing for myself. And if people are uncomfortable with it, chances are that's because they have the disease, and it just makes them uncomfortable to see somebody not indulging like they are doing or planning to do. But, I mean, I don't try to be conspicuous about it. I mean, sometimes I'll bring my own food. I think somebody else mentioned already today that they were going to go to a function and there was only one thing that person was going to have that they could eat. So I pretty much do the same thing. I try to find out what's going to be served. If they aren't going to have anything that I can eat, I'll bring my own. If they are going to have things I can eat, I'll bring my abstinence kit, which is my scale and measuring cups. And I don't have to necessarily weigh and measure my food right at the table. I'll just ask them, do you mind if I go back in your kitchen and do this? And so that way I can feel safe, I can feel less tempted, and I can enjoy the company rather than worrying about the food. And, you know, it's as if we really live in two different worlds. There's the secular world that indulges in food and really doesn't take the disease all that seriously. And then there's people like us who are addicted to it, and we can't afford not to take it seriously because it's a matter of life and death. And I can remember one time, you know, being at a relative's house, and my uncle offered me, I don't know what it was, but it wasn't an abstinent food, and I basically just told him, I says, well, I really can't eat that. I'm, you know, a compulsive overeater and addicted to food. And he kind of laughed and chuckled and kind of acted like a pose, like an alcoholic, like slurring his speech and stuff. And he just didn't get it, and a lot of people don't. I don't think that our society has reached the point yet where they take it really seriously as a true addiction and a killing addiction, but I certainly do. And I also know that, you know, at any moment, I mean, the disease is just waiting for me to drop my guard. And, you know, I'm not cured. I have a daily reprieve based on the maintenance of my spiritual condition and being willing to do the tools and the steps and whatever I need to do to keep from being in the food. So, happy, joyous, and free. Again, I think, you know, I'm not happy, joyous, and free all the time. I'm human. You know, my feelings are prone to sometimes skip all over the place. But in general, if I hit a low spot or a depressed spot or a negative spot, I know that I can reverse that. I can turn it around by focusing on positive self-talk or gratitude or some action that will certainly get me out of the funk or the mood that I'm in.
Hi, and, excuse me. You have 3 minutes left altogether.
Okay, thank you. So, again, it's a state of mind, happy, joyous, and free. And you know, I can have my own celebration during the holiday season, even though it's not the traditional one that most people are doing. And it's workshops like this. I know we're going to have we'll have a marathon on Thanksgiving Day. I'm sure there'll be another one around Christmas time. And so there's all kinds of ways that I can ward off the temptations to overeat this time of year or really any day of the year. And I'm committing to doing that. I do not feel deprived. You know, the reality is I feel much worse and more deprived when I'm indulging in all the wrong kinds of foods than when I am eating abstinently, because I have a chance for my emotions to be on an even keel when I'm eating right. So, you know, I'm very glad to be on the line today. It's an important topic, and I guess I would say, you know, for me, I'm just taking it one day at a time, and sometimes it's one meal at a time, and sometimes it's one moment at a time, and then before you know it, it'll be New Year's Day, and this will all be behind us, and I want to enjoy it as best I can without, you know, falling prey to what so many people do who don't accept this as a serious disease. Anyway, I'm going to stop there. I'm on Eastern Standard Time. My name is Ken, and my number is 804-564-2230, 804-564-2230. And thank you, Suzanne, for your service and all the speakers and whoever's on the line. Thank you for being here today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ken. And our next speaker is Danae. Danae, are you here?
Yes, Suzanne, I am here.
How would you like your time, Danae?
Oh, just let me know when there's 5 minutes left would be fine.
Okay, thank you, everybody. Here's Danae.
Thank you so much. Good morning and good afternoon and good evening to everyone on the line. I'm grateful to be here today. My name is Danae, and I am a compulsive eater. I have 10 months and 14 days of recommitted abstinence. I'm down 36 pounds this time around, and I am a food inventory and step sponsor, but I'm not currently available at this time. I started in Seahaw on March the 9th, 2011, and on February 16th of 2014, I chose to break my abstinence through a series of emotional situations going on, and I chose to pick up the food. And I don't blame myself for that. I don't give, you know, I don't beat myself up for it, because I am a compulsive eater, and I have been using food as my coping mechanism for a really long time. And I used to, when I first broke my abstinence, I was devastated and had a rough time and accepting it. And but what I've realized is that what a blessing it was to walk through that process, and what a blessing it is to be able to be here today and to be abstinent today, and to have the experience, strength, and hope that I have. I love our topic about keeping my abstinence and remaining happy, joyous, and free. I'm going to talk about holidays. I'm going to talk about travel. I'm going to talk about family, because they all three kind of go together. And I've done all of these in abstinence and in with my condition. I don't like to call it a disease so much as it is a condition of disordered eating. So I'm grateful to be here today. And I'm going to start with travel. And there's holiday travel and vacation travel. It's not just the holidays. And the holidays for me are not just October, November, December, and January. So and I have traveled and stayed abstinent, and it's been just a glorious event for me. When I travel, I must be aware of my feelings and my emotions that are surrounding the trip before it even starts, because I get anxious. Some of the examples of emotions that I get are anxiety, but also excitement, frustration, and a lot of fatigue. Sometimes a lot of fear. You know, I recently last in April went to St. Croix. I had never been there before. I'd never been through four different time zones before. So there was some fear around that. So confusion, a lot of happiness. And just find out what my feelings are about this trip, to really be connected, because that's what, in the past, my whole life has been about being disconnected from what's happening right here and now. And today, I want to be connected with what's happening right here and now. So writing down my feelings, I just keep a little notepad and I jot down what those feelings are at any given time, and that just solidifies them and gives them some recognition so that I can release them and move forward and just know that they're just feelings and they're going to change. when I was traveling, everything, preparation is key for everything. And I make sure that I have some. So how do I do this? I make sure that I have some mini projects. I need to have my hands and my mind busy, especially when I'm traveling out of town, if I'm going to have some downtime. Like I said, I was in four different airports, four different time zones, a lot of layover time on that one trip. And I couldn't sit and just be bored. That I have to have some kind of stimulus. So for me, I make sure I have projects. I always have a little bit of crochet. As a matter of fact, I was doing some crochet while I'm listening to the speakers, crocheting little projects. I usually have a reading book. I take coloring pages out of a coloring book and a handful of crayons so that my inner child can be happy. And I have some games on my phone. And no matter where I go or what I do, when there's a holiday or just being at work sitting in a business meeting, I always, always have what I call my care package. And that's a little Ziploc bag, and it's filled with all different types of herb tea and my sugar-free gum. I carry that with me everywhere. It's right here next to me right now because I don't want to get caught in an emotional situation and not have something to reach for. I need to have my... Well, they say 911 plan, my backup. And so, and I've learned that about my condition. It's I'm going to work within my condition because it's not going away. Before I take a trip, I listen to the audio downloads on the website. I don't know if you guys know this, and a lot of you do. Some of you are the speakers on those audio downloads. But there are audio downloads on travel, on holidays, on all kinds of wonderful things on the website. And I still listen to those all the time. When I don't have a phone bridge meeting to reach for, I will listen to one of those audio downloads and get myself in the mindset of travel and abstinence and my routine being broken, because I want to keep abstinent and I want to have a good life and a good time in all areas of my life. And so I want to make sure that when my routine is going to be broken, that it's going to be a positive experience. That's my goal, is a positive experience. So I do listen to those audio downloads and take notes on how other people do this thing. Let's see, I also make sure that I have a travel cup with me, some extra money, and maybe some of my pain relievers if I'm going to have headaches and body aches when I was in the in the airports on that trip. I had a lot of layover time and a lot of fatigue and had some headaches and some body aches. You know, the airports are not made for you to relax in. I didn't overpack. I made sure that I have what I need. And so there's a theme here. There's a key to taking care of myself. When I'm taking care of myself and I know that I have what I need, then everything just seems to go so much easier and so much smoother. No matter what else is going on, there might be some things that are going on, like in my itinerary, there might be a cancellation, a delay, a layover, something like that. I need to be prepared for that kind of stuff. So I remember during that trip to St. Croix, I was in one of the airports from midnight to 7 a.m. And when everybody exited the plane, I noticed everybody ran for the vending machines. Well, I don't eat at midnight or any time before 7 a.m., so I don't run for the vending machine. I need to, I'm an emotional eater, and my emotions are high, and I know that I'm going to be in a layover for 7 hours in an airport. That's not my answer today. Running for a vending machine or running for some kind of food item is just not my answer today. It's not going to keep me awake. It's not going to put me to sleep, and it's not going to make me feel better. And those are some of the things that I got to remind myself, that that's not my goal today. Sometimes I'm going to be uncomfortable, and that's just the way it is. Nowhere in the readings in AA or in the steps or in the traditions does it say you will get recovery and you will live a comfortable life. It's going to be uncomfortable at times, and I accept that today. I become familiar with my itinerary and know where I'm going to be. Whether I'm traveling, maybe I'm driving to my family's house, or maybe I'm traveling across the United States, I'm familiar with my itinerary, where I'm going to be, what the meal times are going to be, and what's going to be happening. during that time. At least I have an idea. That doesn't mean things are not going to be, you know, there might be some upsets or anything like that. But I'm also very aware at all times that God is with me. He is my rock. He is my divine partner. I may not be having a great time at every moment, but I know that I'm not alone and I can do all things with him who has all knowledge and power. And I remind myself of that and talk with him often, like a little kid would talk to their parent. I'm tired. Sometimes I whine to him. I'm tired. I'm cranky. I don't like this anymore. And help me through it, God. I try to nip my negative thinking in the bud. And the way I do that is, people might be saying, well, how do you do that? What I do, the trick that I do is, for every negative thought or idea that I have, I try to match it with two positive ones. That's like a little game that I play with myself. And know that this can happen at any forum, whether it's a flight, a driving, or taking a train or a bus. Anything can happen. I allow myself to enjoy the ride, be positive, and have an adventure while I'm taking care of me. During the holidays, you know, the thing, I'm going to talk about the holidays for a minute. First of all, I decided in my first abstinence, in my first year, I got abstinent in March, and the first big holiday that came was Easter. And I was coming off of the sugar and flour, 30 days into it. I wanted that basket. I wanted that basket so bad. And I remember having a conversation with myself and saying, if I'm going to do this thing, I'm going to be going through a full year of holidays, and I better find a way to do it without having these fits. So I thought about
five
the holidays.
5 minutes.
Thank you. I thought about the holidays. And, you know, we have a holiday in every single month of the year except August. And on top of that, we also have birthdays, weddings, funerals, graduations, religious celebrations. It's set up for us to have a holiday, to overspend, to overindulge. And so I want to find a way, how can I do holidays and stay abstinent? When Easter rolled around, that first abstinence, I did get my basket, and I filled it with flowers, all my favorite flowers. I filled it with some activities that I love, coloring crayons, bubbles, and sidewalk chalk, and I had my own basket that did not have a food item. Today, I choose to recreate my holidays, and they're not centered around food. I have holiday parties at my house where they are three-hour parties. We decorate our tree, and we also have activities. I have to have activities. So I cut paper snowflakes. I have a Christmas card table that people can fill out Christmas cards, and we have gift wrapping, and we have a gratitude. I have a bag that has filled with little strips of paper with gratitudes on them, and we pass those around and read them so that it's an activity-centered party, not a food-centered party. I want to get in touch with all of my other senses, not just my sense of taste. Sight. I love the fall holidays, the fall colors, the decor, the scent, the smell. I love the scented pine cones and just the different scents of the season. I don't want my house to smell like vanilla or baked goods. I want to smell the spices and the fall, the scents of the season. We'll say that five times. My sense of touch, I use my creative side to decorate gourds with different fabrics and crochet small projects. I found this little angel project that I can crochet, making my own ornaments and cutting paper snowflakes. And sound, the sound of crunching leaves, the sound of wind, guided meditations, holiday music, water features, things that bring peace and harmony to my holiday. Some of the other things, you know, and the family members, you know, my family's dysfunctional. And they say, we put the fun in dysfunction. And, you know, everyone's emotions are heightened at the holidays, and it can be intense. And I make sure that I walk away and that I can be of service to my family, but I can also walk away, take a break, take a walk. You know, I don't have to help out in the kitchen. Whenever there's a big kitchen item going on, and a lot of cooking. And I always ask, can I do something to help that's not food related? Can I be the one to organize something with the kids? Or can I pick out the music? Or can I, arrange the table? Something that's not food related. I don't want to be around food because I'm out of the food and into my recovery today. I'm into the solution today. And it takes some thought, and it takes some practice, and it takes some creativity. But I'm in touch with those things today, and I'm so grateful for that. I want to thank Suzanne for asking me and letting me be part of this panel. Thank you to our timekeeper. I think it's Ginger. And thank you to everyone on the panel today. I just real quick, I want to say that, you know, any kind of overexertion or overstimulus will shake my foundation. So it's very important for me to take time to be aware and to just ease my way through it, because I'm not at anything frenzied. I don't want frenzied food or frenzied shopping or frenzied wrapping or anything frenzied in my life today. I'm trying to relax and just step into my life one day at a time. So I'll go ahead and leave my phone number for outreach. I'm in Pacific time zone. I'm at 805-824-7879. And I wish everyone a beautiful day and a beautiful holiday season all through the year. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Denise. And our next speaker is Adele. Adele, are you there? Adele,
yes, I'm here.
There you are.
I'm
How
here.
Would you like your time?
Just let me know when. I got 3 minutes left.
Okay, thank you. Everyone, Adele. Thank you, Adele.
Okay, thanks, Suzanne. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Making your holiday season happy, joyous, and free. Oh, wow. I guess I'll talk about Thanksgiving. I am the cook. So that's good in a way, because I get it. Well, I qualify a little bit. I've been in the program, started January 1989. I did go into OA before I came into this program, but, you know, it didn't work for me. And I came here January 1989, but obviously I didn't stay because my recommitted abstinence is October 2007. And but I'm grateful that, I was in and out, so I get a chance to be really cherish every day, because I know I'm just one bite away, one eighth of a teaspoon away from a slip. And Thanksgiving, I am the cook, and I get a chance to cook, so I make things according to how I can have them. And I used to make things that I made before I did come in program that I could have, because that's what my kids like. And then one day my daughter said, "Oh, Mom, don't do this. You know, do it the natural way." So that worked out so that I could have it too, and I didn't have to cook this one dish that I would cook, start on Monday, and then I would recook it on Tuesday to try to get it to taste the way it's supposed to taste. But today I don't have to do that, and so I get a chance to do Thanksgiving according to Adele and tweak the recipe according to what I can have. And one Thanksgiving, my daughter boyfriend, her new boyfriend, cooked Thanksgiving. And, I had told him before that I don't do sugar. And, he ended up being kind of interested in person, let's put it that way. So when he asked me if I want coffee that morning, he gave me to the coffee. It was black, but then I didn't realize he had put something in it. And my daughter told me later, and I didn't hit the roof. I called my sponsor and told my sponsor what had happened. So when he was cooking dinner, I watched him like a hawk, because I didn't trust him with, cooking things that I would have and stuff. And that's okay. She's not with that boyfriend now, and I'm back to cooking Thanksgiving dinner. So I'm just grateful to only by the grace of God that, I have a program and I use it, through the holidays. And I remember one Thanksgiving, my daughter was supposed to get up and help me, because I wasn't supposed to be lifting nothing heavy, because I had tore my rotator cuff. And she didn't get up. So to help me. So I just put the phone bridge on it. Oh, my God, it was such a wonderful morning just cooking and doing all that stuff with the phone bridge and listening to you guys share and stuff. And that's what I've been doing probably the last 4 or 5 years, is listening to the phone bridge while I'm doing my cooking. And then once family starts showing up, I, get off the phone bridge. And last Thanksgiving, I did put the scale on the table, and I see my daughter kind of cut her eyes at me, and I didn't take it off. I just went on and did what I needed to do, measure my food and stuff so that, I could stay abstinent. So, I'm grateful for that. And Christmas, we don't really do a meal, but they always, I go to my daughter's house for Christmas, and, they tell me what time to be there. So I take my own food, because by the time they get ready to have breakfast, it's close to when I'm supposed to be having lunch. And I'm on a medical absence, too, so I have to eat. I take medicine 4 times a day, so I have to make sure that, I take my medicine with my meals, because it's the type of medicine that you need to take with meal. And so, so Christmas, I just make sure that I take, my food and I'll take some time food that I'm going to have that they can have so that they don't feel left out and stuff. And we just, do the presents and stuff like that. And usually I have a friend that's in another 12-step program. She usually have an open house. So if I decide to leave the party early, I can go to her house and hang out. And, and I usually always carry stuff in the car that I can have to go with stuff that she usually have. And I just try to plan. That's one of my biggest things, is that I need to plan, because if I don't plan, I plan to fail. And that has happened to me before, just going by a friend's house and thinking that I could eat something. The dish had a couple of things in it, one thing I could have and the other thing I couldn't. So I ended up just saying F and eating the whole dish. So I didn't have a good plan. So I learned that I need to plan. And I broke my last abstinence because I ate too soon. And I have learned from that you do not eat too soon. You eat your meals with, my sponsor said 4 hours in between each meal. And that's what I do. And so, but New Year's, being single and New Year's, and the old thing with New Year's is that you need to have somebody to kiss at New Year's Eve at the crack of midnight. So that was, it was a big deal with me being single and New Year's Eve. And so I have learned being single that I need to treat myself how I want some man to treat me. And that's what I get a chance to do. I decide what I want to do for New Year's evening. And, I think I started it in 2012 or something, or maybe 2011. I buy myself a real nice dinner, and I would go, and just living here in Southern California, we have beautiful mountains, and I would go and park at this one place and eat my abstinence meal looking at these beautiful mountains. And I love music, so I learned to look at rocking New Year's evening on New Year's evening and just have fun, doing that. And so I learned how to do life without a man. And I'll back up to Christmas. I remember one Christmas that I parked in my daughter's driveway. She's in a condo. I parked right behind her garage, and she said, "Oh, Mom, where did you park at?" And I'm going, behind your driveway. And she said, "Well, they've been going to start towing cars." It's like, oh, my car's not going to get towed. And I looked out, my car had got towed. And so what I did, we called and found out how much it was, and it was just outrageous price, and I didn't have that much money on me. So I went by my friend's house that was having open house, and I hung out there for a while, and I went home and got my credit card and went back. And, God was so good to me. The manager at the condos my daughter live in, we talked to him and we told him how much the guy was charging. He says, "Outrageous, that's not the price he's supposed to charge. Let me call him." And he called them, and I was able to get my car for free. And so you know, and that was, you know, only by the grace of God, because I think it was like $400 that he was asking. And so my high power, you know, really took care of me. And so this Thanksgiving, you know, me and my daughter have not discussed what we're going to do, because she's on an organic thing, and I want to respect her thing. But she had told me the other day that I don't have to respect the organic thing that she's doing. And so we'll, you know, I'll eventually talk to her about what she wants to do. And you know, we have had dinners from restaurants before, and I usually call the restaurant and make sure that they don't put sugar on things, because you won't believe some of the things people put sugar on. Because I was astonished when somebody, when I found out that they put sugar on this one thing, and it's like, oh my God, that is so weird. I never heard of it before. But calling restaurants over the, before I go to them and finding out that they, you know, a lot of them put sugar on this certain thing. And so, and I usually Google the internet and find out if it's something that I can have there before I go to a restaurant. And they say, when you're in doubt, leave it out. So if it's early enough, I call my sponsor and ask her whether this is okay. And then if I can't get in touch with her, I just leave it out, because I don't want to break my abstinence over something that's not, you know, not worth it. You know, I'd rather have sanity and serenity than have whatever it is that, whatever food item that it is. And so I feel like I'm reaching for things, and I think I ran out of things to talk about. So I'm just going to say, you know, that, you know, the holidays is just another day, just another meal, and, make sure you take what you need to take to your relative's house if you're not doing the cooking. And whether, you know, you eat it or not, you know, if they have stuff that you can have, and you have a scale and measuring cup and stuff. But always, you know, be prepared. And, you know, and like they say, they do have the marathon meetings. And like I said, that really helped me a lot when I'm cooking food in the kitchen on Thanksgiving, is listen to the marathon meeting. And doing the seven tools, you know, doing my seven tools. And I don't do them perfect. I wish I can say I sit here and say that I do them perfect, but I don't. And, and if the holiday is a big problem, you know, find people in the program that you can hang out with. Well, I know it's hard sometimes when you phone bridge people and you don't have people in the same area that you live in. But, you know, very fortunate I live in a area where we have a lot of face-to-face meeting, and I can hang out with people and not have to be alone. And if I want to be alone, that's a choice. And so that's it for me. My number is 909-964-1521. 909-964-1521, and I'm in Pacific time. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Adele. Sonia Sunshine is next. Are you here today? Sonia Sunshine, star 6 to mute. Are you there?
She just left the mute.
I guess I was muted, huh?
Okay, there you are.
Thank you.
How would you like your time?
Just give me when there's 3 minutes left.
Is there any way that you can speak up louder? You're a bit low, and it's being recorded.
How about now?
That's better.
Thank you
okay.
so much.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Here's Sonia.
Hi, my name is Sonia Sunshine, and I'm grateful, recovering compulsive overeater. I'm also in other 12-step programs, but the food program is my first program, and I'm grateful for that. And I've been coming to food programs for 33 years. I came in to lose 20 pounds, and I have kept coming back. I came to CA Hal from when it first started, and I always kept coming back. And then I've been able to, in this recommitted abstinence, take off 109 pounds. I put on 180 pounds when I went out but I kept coming to meetings. And like every 3 months, I would check in, but I had a really, really hard time with the personalities and people, and I felt like everyone was judging me and being negative, and I was judging them and being negative, and the disease really took over. So it was very hard for me as a chronic slipper to come back. I've been abstinent and coming back for 3 years, and this current abstinence, it's since December of 2016, and I'm just really grateful. What I was told to talk about a little bit is I'm a widow with an 11-year-old, and I've been coming to meetings, bringing my son to meetings, putting a headset on him, you know, trying to do the phone bridge, going to retreats, and it's been, for me, I have to make my recovery and my abstinence the number one thing and work my life around it. My son is committed to supporting me with my abstinence because my sanity, and I become, there's a lot of beeping going on. I don't know if anyone else can hear that. And my sanity is directly related to what I put into the cups and on the scale. And for me to be the mom that I've always wanted to be, I have to stay abstinent. And around the holidays, I love the holidays, and I used to bake a lot in abstinence. And then I got and was so claiming about how I could do it and not eat, and then I started eating what I was baking. And so I don't do that anymore in this abstinence, and I realize, you know, my son doesn't want those things for the holidays. It's not a big deal. And I don't offer and push. I was a pusher and offer. You have to try this as part of the legacy and the tradition. But now it's more the colors, the decorations, the artwork, the music. That's more of what goes on in our household. I cut off cable 8 months ago in this abstinence because when I was eating, I was watching all these sitcoms, and I was glued to the TV every night, and I wasn't even intimate with myself, and I wasn't doing my program, and it really has helped me to cut off cable and not be addicted to the TV and use that to zone out. And the other thing is we do watch movies, and I do, you know, listen to the news, but it's been a life-changing experience for me. How I do the holidays, I'm 30 years clean and sober, and I learned in that program that, like Adele was saying, it's just another day and there's no big deal. What does happen is my son is off during the holiday. He's going to be off for a week of Thanksgiving, going to be off for the holidays. And so, you know, I put my recovery first, but I also put my son and making plans and having an action plan where he's going to do something fun every day. And I plan my food and my recovery around that. I do my meetings. I shop. I chop. I plan. I know where I'm going to eat out. But I also have to make sure that I'm not just sitting there at home waiting for a meal with nothing for my son to do. So, you know, I remember when I was single, I didn't have any reason not to go to a meeting. But I tell my son, we're going to go to a meeting, and then we're going to do something fun for him. And I thank him for sitting at a meeting. Maybe he'll have headphones on. He'll do artwork. He'll watch a movie. But I always thank him for helping me in my recovery when I bring him to a meeting. When I'm on the phone bridge, sometimes he feels neglected or ignored. But I have to prepare before I go on a phone bridge meeting. I have to say, you know, we're going to do this after. I need this for my recovery. I'm going to be on this long. And just clear, honest, direct boundaries. And, you know, where I lead, they will follow. If I say recovery is the most important thing in my life, without a doubt, then the people in my life follow that lead. I was at a play place this week with my son, and the manager of the play place was morbidly obese, and I was sitting there drawing, and I was playing with my son, and she came over with a whole big plate of sugary things, and I just looked at her, and I just go, no, thank you, I'm allergic to sugar. In that tone, you know, I'm tired of being nice to people pushing stuff on me, and I was nice, but I was firm, so she wouldn't ask a second time. And then, you know, I was going to push it on my son, and then I decided, you know what, I'm going to stop offering him stuff and pushing stuff on him when I don't have it, because he always says no. Because I haven't deprived my son of sugar and flour, he's the kid at the parties that doesn't eat the whole thing. He'll take a bite, and then he'll run and play. And this is a direct result of my recovery and being fully present and in my body and present and in the relationship for, as a mother. I mean, I'm a hope-to-die addict. When I'm eating, I want to die, and there's nothing that can get in my way, and I'll drive from place to place, zoned out, and fully not present for myself or anyone. And I know that about me, so I have to take my recovery life or death. I have to plan. I have to prepare. I already know what I'm bringing for Thanksgiving. I know how long I'm going to stay. I'm bringing things to do so I can go into another room and make phone calls or go on a phone bridge meeting while I'm at the family's house. But I'm just really grateful for being able to be of service today. I'm almost done, honey. Give me a couple more minutes, okay? And then, what else was I going to say? Oh, around the holidays. Here, honey, you can listen to Mommy speak. Around the holidays, I love decorating. I look forward to the colors. You know, I go to Disneyland a lot with my son, and we enjoy the landscaping, the music. I don't make it about the food at Disneyland. You know, I make sure I don't get too hungry or too tired or too angry. And because we have a pass, then we don't have to get our money's worth. I go to amusement parks. I go to zoo. I go to the pier. I go to Universal Studios. I live life. And around the holidays, I make sure I enjoy the other things that has to do with community and family. But I do go to a lot of face-to-face meetings too, whether it's another 12-step program or this program, because I find that the community and the hugs and looking into someone's eyes and letting people know you and letting people see you and being rigorously honest with my food, with my sponsor, no matter what, I don't care about starting over. I almost died in this program with 5 years of abstinence, and I had slipped on sugar. I had slipped on white flour, and I had a sponsor that wasn't having me start over, and it was killing me, and I was putting on weight, and I put on 50 pounds, and I just was like, this is like regular OA. What am I doing? And so I was willing to start over after having 5 years of abstinence, and I'm just not willing to be dishonest with my food anymore. And what else about the holidays? I do make, you know, foods that my family used to make, but I make them abstinent because there's my little girl inside me wants memories of her childhood. So I make those things, but I make them abstinent. And there's a few of those things. I also make sure that I have music and I put up special pictures, and I even wear like holiday earrings. Just, you know, I celebrate a lot of different religions and holidays. I'm about the party, and the little girl inside me, it's never too late to have a happy childhood. You know, I never had a birthday party, and I'm the youngest of six, and that wasn't something our family did. So I'm making sure that I have parties and that I play and that I enjoy the music and I enjoy the colors and the sounds, and I do things with people that are fun. Just the other day, we went swimming in a pool, and there was artwork underneath the water. And I could put on a bathing suit that fit, and I could put goggles on and swim and look at artwork under the water. I can go snowboarding or skiing. I went on a cruise in this abstinence, and I was able to stay abstinent with God's will. I can bring my program with me anywhere. Back in the 90s, I was in Israel, and I had to mail my questions and my food in on a postcard. Nowadays, we can email. We can do so much. But, you know, if you're new, I just want to say putting these principles of this program, which is the steps in the big book, and carrying it with me, and know that selfish, self-centered fear is the root of my problems. Right now, you know, I'm going to any length to be able to speak on this meeting, because it's the most important thing in my life, is to be able to stay abstinent and sane so I can be fully present for my son and for myself and for all of you. Anyway, that's it. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Sonia. And our last speaker is yours truly. I'm Suzanne. I'm a grateful compulsive eater. And Ginger, would you give me 5, 5, and 5?
You betcha.
Okay, thank you. I am Suzanne. I'm a grateful compulsive eater. And let's see, to qualify, oh, I hear it beeping in the background. Would someone mute who's ever beeping? Thank you. Let's see. I have been abstinent since April 6, 2003. I have given away 64 pounds. I'm a food inventory step sponsor, not currently available, but I am sponsored and I do sponsor. And I've run the gamut. I've done almost everything during the holidays. I'll share a little bit about what it was like. It used to be, once upon a time, when I lived in Mexico, and I was into my full splendor of my addiction. You know, sometimes I would go on try and lose weight, and then I would break it for the holidays and try and get back on. But then it became, I couldn't do that. I'll start tomorrow, I'll start after the new year, I'll start after February, who knows. And I remember I got abstinent in another program in Mexico, another food program, October 15th, 1995, and I would spend Christmases with a family, friends of my mom and myself, and a big family, and they had all sorts of stuff that, you know, we don't eat. And after I got into this 12-step program, I learned, you know, that had to stop. It's not going to be starting tomorrow. It had to start today. So I started that day that I got there. So Christmas came around, and my friend invited me to her home. And what I did differently was I did call her daughter, and I said, what are you guys having? And she told me, and I figured out I could have a couple of things, and I brought some of my own stuff. And I remember, you know, showing up, no one noticed that. But then the mother is like, she used to call me, Tutti, the diet starts tomorrow, and she starts to try and give me all this stuff. And I said, no, it already started. It's today. It was yesterday, but it's today. Today is the most important day. And she looked at me, like, with a puzzled look, and she had a big smile on her face, and she said, okay, how can I help you? I was so relieved. So I was able to continue that tradition of spending Christmas and New Year's with them. It was not a big deal. So that was my first experience, you know, dealing with others in my program. So then fast forward to my life here in CA Howe. My mom was a compulsive eater, I can say that, because she said I could. And, you know, I would cook for her abstinent food, but every once in a while she wanted something different, or I had to buy something different. And I just had to look at it that it was her food, not my food, and since this is a HOW program, I had to work the H of the program, honesty. And if I took her food, not only would I be breaking my abstinence, breaking a commitment to my sponsor, my sponsees, but I would be stealing because it's her food. And that's the way I had to look at it. And I didn't want to be a thief. So it was her food, and I was able to do that. I cooked a large thing, a large Thanksgiving dinner for 5 people. And I would say 85% of it was all abstinent stuff. I found a way to cook stuff that most of it I could have. I did have two things that I could not have, and I really didn't care. And I did. I will say this, because my mom wanted me to be the hostess with the mostest. There was one thing I forgot to make, and she's like, oh, but that's not it. You know, that's not something you should forget, and blah, blah, blah. I had a horrendous stress headache. And also, it was a very large, I cooked a lot. I had to make sure the timing was right and the table was not really that large enough. Well, anyway, but you know what? It was a wonderful meal, and they didn't know it was an abstinent meal for the most part. I had those two things that were not. Other than that, everything else was abstinent. And, it, you know, once I kind of figured out how to do it with help from my mom, she'd say, well, why don't you try this and do that? It was not that hard. So I did that a couple of times. And that was in my early abstinence. I went to a holiday party for my boyfriend's place of employment. That was a little trickier, and this is where I had to practice really sticking to my guns, being firm about it. But I remember someone is unmuted, I think. I hear noise in the background. Well, I don't know. I remember it was going to be a buffet, and a person came up to me and said, I'll just serve you. Well, I did ask ahead what was going to be served, so I knew it was going to be abstinent. However, the portion size was all off, so I got someone else to take me, and I got what I needed, and I learned I can't have people doing that for me. I remember my sponsor telling me.
5 minutes done.
Thank you. Thank you, Ginger. I remember my sponsor telling me, they're treating you like a child. You are an adult, and you need to go up there, and, yeah, someone needs to help you because I'm totally blind, but you're an adult, and you get to choose what you want, not what someone plops in front of you. And I thought, yeah, my mother doesn't even treat me that way. Even as a child, my mom never treated me that way. Why am I letting these people push me around and just plop food in front of me? So I learned. I have traveled for the holidays. And I have been to other people's homes. I've been to holiday parties at restaurants. I just got through going to a wedding. It was a very large wedding, 280 to 300 people. But I knew the mother of the groom, and I called and I said, do you have any idea what will be served? She told me. She knows I'm in a program. And she said, absolutely. I am making sure that there is food for you. And she did. Not an issue. But I called ahead. There have been cases where I've taken food with me. Some of it, you know, everyone has, I think everybody's spoken to that. Sometimes I take some of my food. Sometimes I take all of my food. Sometimes I don't need to take any of my food. I have learned, though, not to trust websites. Many restaurants do not keep their websites updated. So if you go to the website and you look at a menu, you're thinking, oh, yeah, that's fine. You get there and that's not the menu anymore. So I always call. When I was first abstinent, I actually would call a restaurant, and they would mail me a menu. My mother would read the menu to me, and then I would call and ask about certain dishes. How about this? What's in this? So I was prepared. Okay, there's that. The other thing that I learned was I need to be willing to make outreach calls if I need them during an event, and I have done that. It has saved me. It saved me from my emotional sobriety, from losing my emotional sobriety, and probably my absence, but definitely my emotional sobriety. And no one's going to know. You just excuse yourself to the restroom, and in the restroom you make the call, and it's like, okay, I'm fine now. The other thing is I have dealt with people who have questioned me. I had someone lecture me about diet beverages, said some things, and was very opinionated. And the first time he did it, it really bothered me. I had to talk to my sponsor about it. The second time, I just let him say his piece, and it doesn't matter. And when it didn't let it affect me, guess what? He kind of moved on, and he hasn't done it since. I've also learned most of the time, people really are not noticing if you're eating something different or you brought your own food. Most of the time, you know, discretion is great. Sometimes you have to speak up, but I've learned to speak in a very loving but firm way. This is what I need to do. I'm allergic to sugar and flour. I have food allergies. If you tell someone at a party, you know, the hostess, I have food allergies, I don't need to go into a big, long spiel about, you know, anything else. Food allergy. They're like, okay, they get that for the most part. I have been to holiday parties where it's preordained, and they have plopped the you-know-what in front of me, the dessert. And it's just saying no, because then that draws attention to it. What I've learned is push it off to the side and ask someone, hey, would you like a second helping? And there's usually always someone that wants a second helping, and I say, here. And they're happy, and no one really says anything about it. So I've learned how to deal with that stuff. What I had to learn to be really happy, joyous, and free during the holidays was I was absent a few years when, you know, I love the festivities of the holiday, and for me the spiritual aspect, but there was something that made me very sad and down, and I couldn't figure out why. And, you know, doing some writing, I figured out it's because I don't have children, and I really wanted children. And unless there's something I don't know, there are not going to be any children from me anyway. And this was really a revelation. And I had to do a lot of writing and praying and meditation about this. Because as a child, I have a lot of happy memories of this holiday season. I do. And it doesn't all have to do with food. It's just a lot of stuff. It has to do with I had a father and a brother at the time and a mother. It had to do with a lot of stuff, not just one simple answer to it. So I had to come to terms with that. And once I realized that that's what was bothering me, it helped a great deal. And I could enjoy the spirit of a holiday, whatever holiday it is, by the way, whatever holiday it is, and find a purpose. I'm lucky that in my area, some of the people go caroling. Doesn't matter what your holiday, your religious holiday is, they'll go caroling to be of service to other people. If you live in an area where you don't have CAHEL, you could go caroling if you want, you know, with other people. It doesn't matter. But to get out and just celebrate whatever holiday it is very helpful.
Five more minutes.
Thank you, Ginger. And I'm starting to lose my voice. That's not good. To be of service, you know, get out there and spread holiday cheer, whatever that is, whether it's collecting stuff for kids, whether it is caroling, whether it is decorating something. There's always something you can do. The other thing is, what I have learned is, I'm a compulsive eater 365 days a year. And when I travel, guess what? My disease, you know, travels with me. I still need to hear from my sponsees. I have a lot of sponsees, so sometimes I have some of them call each other, because if I talk to all of them, it would be very difficult, especially if I'm in a different time zone. But I have the connection with my sponsor. It's not perfect, but I still have that connection. I still connect in some way with her every day. It used to be I had a different cell phone plan, and I had limited minutes, so I would have to get up and listen to meetings. And it wasn't always perfect. I have a better, I have unlimited minutes now, so I can get on any time. That's helpful. It really is. To get in on meeting if I'm traveling, especially. Last year, I had a lot of events. I hosted our own Christmas party / a housewarming for me for 18 people. I catered it in. It was an abstinent meal. I did have the stuff at the end of the meal for the people that wanted it. There were a lot of abstinent people in my home, and there were some that weren't. I was able to get through that because I still connected with my sponsor. I did everything I was supposed to do, and I wanted it to be about being together and not about the food. So I made it simple. I catered it in. I was able to do that. We went to a holiday party the week after, and I got through that. We traveled right before Christmas, and the same thing. I called people. I was willing to call people. I was willing to listen to meetings. I still worked my program. And, you know, if you're on a cruise, they have Friends of Bill and Bob meetings. There's a way to travel with you. And, you know, take your pocket-sized big book with you, or take some 12-step literature with you that's going to keep you connected no matter where you are in the part of the world. Any part of the world, you can travel with programs. And now with Skype, you know, you can get on Skype on your smartphone and do a meeting even if you're on the other end of the world. So there are many things to do, And I have to remember, like my sponsor says, it's your birthday, it's New Year's, but it's just another day, another meal. And I have to remember why. And it's usually because I want to be with friends. And, you know, I privately celebrate a spiritual part of certain holidays. I've also done, I've gone to different religious institutions with friends to celebrate their holidays. And once again, I have to protect my abstinence. And before I go, I make sure what the deal is, whether I have to bring it, part of it, or all of it, or none of it. But I make sure. And I've been able to do that. I would like to say, it's not always easy, but if I plan ahead, it's a lot easier than if I don't. If I don't plan ahead, I think one time, because of the circumstances I was in, I did not call. I did not plan. I prayed, and God took care of me. But it did teach me a lesson that I can't assume. I can't go on that. That time I was lucky, and my plan was if there was nothing there, then I would not have eaten anything. So I already kind of had that. But I learned not to do that again. I have to, I want to be around people. It's a chance for me to get around people that I haven't seen. And that's why I had one of the reasons why I had this party last year was a group of people, some of them I don't get to see very often, to spend time with them. The meal was just part of it. We played music, we had conversation, it was a relaxing, wonderful time. And so I hope some of this helps you. Don't be afraid to reach out to people. The other thing is, I would like to say this too, you know, some of us, I don't have a family, so I don't have to worry about it too much. My mom's no longer with me, and if I cook an abstinent meal, my boyfriend's happy, he doesn't care. But if you have a family and you feel compelled that you have to cook all the stuff, most of it not abstinent, you know, have a talk with your sponsor, and maybe that's not the case. You can still cook, and if you have a new abstinence, take care of that abstinence. You know, putting all that responsibility is stressful. Maybe have someone bring stuff, you know, stuff that you don't want to cook, but have someone else bring it. Or, you know, like I did, I had a humongous abstinent, for the most part, meal, and most of them did not know that it was abstinent, but they enjoyed it anyway. But we put
time
all this pressure.
Time, Susan.
Thank you, Ginger. We put all this pressure on ourselves, and it's about enjoying a holiday, whatever holiday it is, whatever time of the year. So before we stop the recording, I just want to thank everybody and have a happy holiday season, whatever time of year you get to listen to this. And as soon as we stop the recording, we are going to take questions. So if you have any questions, and we're going to stop the recording now, and then we'll say the Serenity Prayer, and then we'll open up to questions. Oh, I'll leave my number first. My number is, I'm Suzanne, Grateful Compulsive Eater, and my number in Pacific Time is 818-208-9171, 818-208-9171. Cheryl, would you like to stop the recording?
Can we do the Serenity Prayer just before I do?
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Okay, everybody, star 6 to unmute and join us in the Serenity Prayer. God?
God,
grant me the serenity.
Grant me the serenity.
Father, grant me the serenity. I cannot change.
The courage to change.
The courage to change things I can.
And the wisdom to know that the promise thy will be done, not my will.
Amen. Okay.